proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
If you take away religion, or God, you cannot hire enough police. This is a quote from a Harvard professor that we're going to look into in this program, because it upholds the truths that God has given us. And we know that there are only two ways to live life. Right side up, meaning following God's establishments for life, or the wrong way, upside down, away from the wisdom of God that He has given us for life. There are no other options. There are no gray areas that would be acceptable. It is either black or white, and that is how we must look at life if we want to look at it through God's perspective, not the alternative routes that human beings think that they are creating by not following God's dictates. The title of this program is the quote from Harvard professor Clay Christensen, who in turn was quoting a Marxist economist from China at the Fulbright Fellowship. But before we get started on our topic, I would like to recommend that you sign up to receive the American Minute by Bill Federer. It will put such a wealth of historical information at your fingertips by receiving an event that happened on that very day in history. It is a truly extraordinary resource to have. You can also access the American Minute at our website at culturallegacy.org. I highly, highly recommend that you look into this resource. I will loosely be quoting from the May 28th, 2022 American Minute. It shares the following, and I quote, "On February 8th, 2011, Harvard professor Clay Christensen, professor of business administration at Harvard Business School, observed, 'Some time ago I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston, and I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, "Yes, I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy." I'm going to pause right there, dear folks, because the observation of this Marxist economist from China matches the observation that Alexis de Tocqueville, the French visitor to America, also arrived to that conclusion about what made America function the way it did. This observation from this Marxist gentleman is of great value because he is an outsider looking in, just like Alexis de Tocqueville. And this Chinese gentleman is from an opposing ideology to ours, and he's looking in and making this comment. I continue quoting. Christensen continued, The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. I'm going to pause right there to inject the following. Personal accountability before God was something the early settlers and our founding fathers emphasized greatly over and over and over again. Why? Because they knew what the Bible teaches about how bad the sinful nature of humans is, and that no amount of laws can restrain the heart that refuses to discipline itself. And this is the same criteria that God uses. God will evaluate our lives according to how we lived. And what does the Bible say about accountability? Scripture teaches that we will be held accountable before God and that we are meant to hold each other accountable on earth for our words and actions. So not only does God hold us accountable, but it also teaches us to hold each other accountable. Being accountable means being willing to explain your actions with honesty and openness and to fully accept responsibility for your actions. We will one day stand before God and will be held accountable for how we lived. God is keeping track. He is writing our life book, and that is how we will be judged in the end. I continue quoting, and it says, "My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society. They were accountable to God." Again, I'm going to pause there. This is the most important factor in the American way of government, knowing that we will be held accountable to God for all that He's given us, for all that He's done for us, for all the actions that we are doing. And Romans chapter 14, verse 12 tells us, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." End of quote. And this is repeated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 that says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." End of quote. So right off the bat, we can discount that when we die, God doesn't decide where we go. He just simply evaluates our life and gives us the end result of what we did in our body, how we lived here on earth, whether good or evil. And this is very important to note, because people think that God's the one that's going to decide in the end where we belong. But that's not what we are reading here in Romans and in Corinthians. I continue quoting. Professor Christensen continued, "My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy?" And I'm going to pause right there to explain that religion in itself is not what these gentlemen are pointing out. They use that word to emphasize God. So we can read it that as God loses his influence over the lives of Americans, that is what will determine the outcome, whether we have a just government or not. So at this juncture in America, we don't need to question what is clearly manifesting before our eyes. And by that I mean that we are seeing already the lawlessness in plain sight, and it is even being broadcasted on national television every single day. And this is the result because as a nation, we still have the form of believing in God. We still give him the lip service that we believe in him, that we include him in our national affairs. But in reality, we are very, very far away from what he teaches us in his word. And this should be of great concern, because then it should not surprise us to see all this lawlessness in plain sight. This is the result of pulling away from God. I continue quoting. Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws? Because if we take away God, you cannot hire enough police. At that same university, over two centuries earlier, on May 31st, 1775, Harvard President Samuel Langdon stated in his address titled, Government Corrupted by Vice, and this is a quote, that for the sins of a people, God may suffer the best government to be corrupted or entirely dissolved. Nothing but a general reformation can give ground to hope that the public happiness will be restored. End of quote from President Langdon. Did you get that? Only with God will government be accountable. Will government remain justified? I keep quoting. Speaking just 6 weeks after the battles of Lexington and Concord, Harvard President Samuel Langdon described America's cities under assault. And I quote, they attempted by a sudden march of a body of troops in the night to seize and destroy one of our magazines formed by the people merely for their own security. The fire began first on the side of the king's troops. But for what? Because they, the patriots, have made a noble stand for their natural and constitutional rights in opposition to the machinations of wicked men, aiming to enslave and ruin the whole nation. Langdon called for a return to God. The kingdom of Israel was brought to destruction because its iniquities were full, because there remained no hope of reformation. Their government degenerated in proportion as their vices increased till few faithful men were left in any public office. At length, when they were delivered up for 70 years into the hands of the king of Babylon, and scarcely any remains of their original excellent civil polity appeared among them. I'm going to pause right there. Dear friends, when we let go of the virtues, of the values, of the fear of God, of right living, it's just going to go downhill for anyone after that. So if we keep it up, we see the example that President Langdon is referring to in Israel, that they were so sinful that they were delivered up for slavery for 70 years into the hands of the king of Babylon. God said, enough. Wait a minute. Wasn't Israel God's chosen people? How could he do that? Why was he not forgiving? Why did he not have more patience with them? Actually, he had had a lot of patience with them, but they just would not correct their ways. And many times, when we do not see the error of our ways and modify, God has to allow greater judgment to come upon us, and that's part of his grace. By doing so, God saved the nation of Israel because he still had plans for that nation, but he could not allow them to continue in their sinful ways like they had been going, and they were not heeding his warnings through the prophets. I continue quoting from Langdon. He added, "When a government is in its prime, virtue prevails. Everything is managed with justice, prudence, and frugality. But vice will increase with the riches and glory of an empire. And this gradually tends to corrupt the Constitution and in time bring on its dissolution." I'm going to pause right there. So you see, riches and glory and victories, if we are not careful, can be the worst things that happen to us because we push God aside. We leave him aside. We take all the glory. We begin to corrupt ourselves. We begin to do things that we know are wrong, but we think that just because we are prosperous and victorious, that God is smiling on us. And just because he does not bring his full wrath at the moment, that we're okay. And that is wrong thinking. I continue quoting. It says, "This may be considered not only as the natural effect of vice, but a righteous judgment of heaven, especially upon a nation which has been favored with the blessings of God and liberty and is guilty of undervaluing them and eagerly going into the gratification of every lust." I'm going to pause right there. When people feel tremendously free, they are blessed with riches, with wealth, a good economy, good jobs, they drift and they begin to allow themselves certain pleasures and luxuries that they know only feed their sinful nature, yet they feel entitled. And this is what is being pointed out here. I continue quoting. Langdon explained what happened when a nation rejects God. He said they were a sinful nation who had forsaken the Lord and provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. Their princes were rebellious against God, seizing the property of the subjects and robbing the public treasury. Everyone loved gifts. They were influenced in everything by bribery. They even justified and encouraged the murder of innocent persons to support their lawless power. I'm going to pause right there. Do all these symptoms sound familiar, dear friends? You see, there's nothing new under the sun. These are the natural tendencies of rebellious, sinful human beings every single time. It will happen. We will see the corruption of taking what does not belong to those in power. They're influenced by bribery, illicit, illegal wealth. They tend to grab onto it. And did you catch the part that says that they even justify and encourage the murder of innocent persons to support their lawless power? What is happening right now with the possible overturning of the Roe v. Wade ruling? Have you seen how horrendously angry and aggressive people are becoming because they want to demand to continue murdering these innocent unborn children or preborn children? Doesn't that just curdle your blood? What is it with people that are so bloodthirsty that they are advocating for all these things that are so sinful? And I continue quoting what it says, "And God, in righteous judgment, left them to run into all this excess of vice to their own destruction because they had forsaken him." I pause there. Friends, the reason for all this chaos in America, the reason for all this turmoil, the reason for all this lawlessness, the reason for all this sinfulness that is just oozing from all parts of our society is because we have forsaken God. And we are seeing the anarchy that has been released all across our nation. I just read that the entire police department of a city all resigned the same week. They cannot cope with all the lawlessness. They don't have enough personnel or funds. It is all coming under attack. The police are under attack. There's no amount of money that they can earn to carelessly put their lives on the line because their hands are tied to truly fight against lawlessness and evil. We can read what happens to people when they deliberately rebel against God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 24 and verse 28, we read the following. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. End of quote. It's very clear, isn't it, folks? There's nothing new under the sun. This is exactly what is happening to us, and we are supposed to be a Christian nation. You tell me. We only have the lip service that we believe in God. We only have the form that we are a religious people. Because if this opposite was true, we would not be seeing all this lawlessness. Because when people walk away from God, it never goes well. I continue quoting. The public greatly suffered, and the people groaned and wished for better rulers and better management. But in vain they hoped for a change when the spirit of religion was gone and the infection of vice was become universal, the whole body being so corrupted, there could be no rational aspect of any great reformation in the state, but rather of its ruin. He told the Massachusetts Provincial Congress, "We must keep our eyes fixed on the supreme government of the eternal King as directing all events. Yet, if a general reformation of religion and morals had taken place, and they had turned to God from all their sins, if they had again recovered the true spirit of their religion, God, by the gracious interpositions of his providence, would soon have found out methods to restore the former virtue of the state, and again have given them men of wisdom and integrity. We have rebelled against God. We have lost the true spirit of Christianity, though we retain the outward profession and form of it. We have neglected the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and his holy commands and institutions. Their hearts are far from him. By many, the gospel is corrupted into a superficial system of moral philosophy, little better than ancient Platonism. I'm going to pause right there, friends. As you can see, it is definitely time for America to get back to God if we hope to save ourselves and our country. We in America today would do well to heed this call of restoration from Reverend Langdon. And he concluded saying the following, and pay close attention because this is a call to reformation for America. And he said, "Let us repent and implore the divine mercy. Let us mend our ways and our doings. Reform everything that has been provoking the Most High, and thus endeavor to obtain the gracious interpositions of providence for our deliverance." May the Lord hear us in this day of trouble. We will rejoice in His salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Wherefore is all this evil upon us? Is it not because we have forsaken the Lord? Can we say we are innocent of crimes against God? No. Surely it becomes us to humble ourselves under His mighty hand, that He may exalt us in due time. If God be for us, who can be against us? The enemy has reproached us for calling on His name and professing our trust in Him. They have made a mock of our solemn fasts and every appearance of serious Christianity in the land. May our land be purged from all its sins. Then the Lord will be our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And we will have no reason to be afraid, though thousands of enemies set themselves against us round about. End of quoting from Reverend Langdon. Friends, let us heed this call at this time. We still have perhaps a small window to be able to turn this nation around, but not just wishing it so. We must do things God's way. And God's way is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. End of quote from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is the formula, folks. Let us get back to God. We will not be able to save ourselves. Anarchy will take us over. Lawlessness will swallow us, and destruction will be inevitable. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.